how many marriages, divorces we're responsible for here.
Is improvisation better than sex?
I think it was fucking awesome.
Wait, how did you win?
You know how I won.
How did you win?
You know how
did
I
you
won.
Beat me?
You know how I won. Say it. Hey, say, Hunter, you won.
Yon, do you like poetry?
Yeah, sure I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do like poetry.
Is that a form of
imperialism?
Yeah.
Why do you think poetry is boring?
Because it's so boring and it doesn't pay a rent.
What's happening all the time?
I don't know, but I'm there for it.
Yeah, as long as nobody gets killed.
What would make poetry
can
more
you
interesting
get
in your perspective?
British accent.
Sometimes you can say, I need blood. Or you can say, I need blood, you know?
Is it the sun or is it the moon?
The sun.
What does it feel like to be alive?
The smoke on my eyelashes, the fog in my throat, your gaze on me. This is how it feels.
Off the top of my head, it's messy, shy, embarrassed, and philosophical.
You can be a poet. You can be part of poetic moments. You can create poetry. Also, when you don't know what poetry actually is, you maybe think poetry is only about writing in the 18th century about love, but it's not. And you can be a poet, although you don't know what a poet is.
Cestou do Anglie, kamarád, kriminálky, ahoj, Igore. Je tebe zatýkač, na Vánoce lepší než do...
What's happening all the time?
Oh boy, I don't got much to say.
What is poetry for you?
For me, without struggle and without being confused, there's no real purpose to moving forward. If we have the answer, it's going to get boring.
Good evening on this rainy Sunday evening. Welcome to Object Parody, the Object Paradise radio show recorded live from the Czech capital, Prague. I'm Sandra Pasławska and with me is Tycho Say. We are from a Prague-based poetics collective called Object Paradise. Our collective focuses on organizing interdisciplinary events, performances, creating DIY localzine Crotch, and producing immature movies. All for the sake of promoting poetry and art in general as accessible tools of expression not only for art school graduates. We want to break up with the idea of a poet in a turtleneck and enjoy poetry as the party it is.
Hey, I'm Tycho, and here is our game plan for this evening. First, we're going to dive into some Crotch reports, news from the wonderful city of Prague, where this podcast radio show is broadcasting from. We're going to then hear about some female toilet reviews, talking to an expert female bathroom user who has years of research on the matter. Then we're going to discuss the most haha neighborhood in Praha, featuring a special discussion about some of the amazing happenings in Prague, where to go, where to live, etc. Then we're going to listen to some of the music from the scene, and then have an interview with Mark Baker, who was the founder of the Globe Bookstore and Cafe. And then we're going to hear a story about fake trash, and we're going to talk about and discuss, does fake trash actually exist? And without further ado, let's get to the headlines.
The Ministry of Tourism released a financial report last month which revealed that male English tourists aged between 22 to 40 are responsible for at least 10,000 police and waste management jobs in Prague. The tourist demographic alone has proven to be a strong job creator as their demand for social services requires an excessive deployment of city employees, contributing to Czechia's low unemployment rate. Due to these financial reports, the city of Prague plans to demolish the National Museum and replace it with a hotel to house a large demographic of tourists. There's simply no other way to grow our economy and give jobs to Prague residents other than the catering to the young lads in our city. which is exactly why we are renovating the 1,300 square meter National Museum into accommodation for the seasonal visitors, said Representative Honza Blesk.
The Ministry of Foreign Affairs has found that polygamous relationships are on the decline due to a struggling economy and the inflation of the Czech crown. With meal and pint prices in the Czech capital reaching all-time highs, consumers seem to be hesitant to take on unnecessary expenses. Inflation of the Czech crown did, however, stabilize at 2.4% in May 2024, but despite the improvements, reports suggest that young people do not yet have enough confidence in the economy to be dating more than one person. There is some controversy on the data, however. Mihala Kisova, representative of Foreign Affairs, stated, quote, "The truth is that foreign affairs are on the incline and domestic polygamous relationships are on the decline. The Czech crown," she stated, "is simply still weak against other Western European currencies." She suggested, "Our polygamous folks should be aware of this when they open their relationships and should only date locals in the city."
The apartment of Prague artist Mark Divo began autonomously digesting itself last weekend. Mark Divo, well known among Praguers for opening and curating several creative venues in the city, left the country 2 years ago, leaving behind an empty apartment. That is, until last week, when Crotch reporters were alerted that the space had quickly filled up with stomach acid and began digesting itself. Although there was little in the apartment left, the event lasted approximately 8 hours and it drew off spectacle of onlookers who witnessed the walls and floors collapse into a pool of gargling yellow acid. Once the building had completely disintegrated into the remaining plot of land, a large burp was heard and the crowd was sprayed with Winston Blue cigarette butts and a liquid that could only be described as, quote, "half piss, half branic." Vinohrad investigators remained at the location for a full week after the event as they searched the catacombs of the buildings for digested art to resell to the Swiss government.
Meteorologists across Central Europe have issued an unprecedented weather warning specifically targeting Goths. The Goth community is expected to face unique challenges as the region enters an unusually hot and sunny September. The authorities are urging Goths to reconsider their commitments and to their choices, and they could potentially lead to heatstroke, melted makeup, and unfortunate shoe situations. Jan Klaus, the head of climate studies at Charles University, issued a statement at a press conference in Prague today, quote, "Goths will be facing an extraterrestrial crisis this September." He then later corrected himself as "existential crisis this September," while the rest of the population will be worrying about staying hydrated. Our Goth communities may spontaneously combust. We suggest to them to adapt their musical taste as a survival strategy. Klaus continued, when he said that he used to be a huge fan of the Cure when he was younger, and he went on to offer some practical advice. Give Industrial a try. Not only does it offer an edgier yet slightly less melancholic vibe, but the genre also comes with cool chains which can double as practical cooling devices. These accessories are perfect for providing the much-needed nipple relief when paired with a sleeveless mesh top.
Honza Nuskar, a new barber in Žižkov, is providing free involuntary haircuts to people passing by Husitska and Orebinska streets nightly throughout the month of August. Crotch reporter spoke to Nuskar over the weekend and he told us, quote, "Just walk on by and I will clip off what seems right free of charge, but donations are accepted." The success of Nuskar's free involuntary haircut business has proven to be great success amongst the Žižkov community. When our reporter spoke to Nuskar or Husiska Street last week, we noticed a group of men on the opposite side who were clearly customers of Nuskar. Each of 5 men spotting Nuskar's speciality, the reverse mullet. word has since spread to neighboring Vinohrad about the trend, and barbershops are now offering the Nuskar-inspired cut for 600 crowns. Along with the trendy haircut, the service also includes a 30-milliliter pint of Pilsner Urquell.
In addition to the reports, we'd like to share with you our latest review of women's bathrooms in Prague. We'll be doing this by consulting our expert toilet user. This review is based on years of personal experience of partying and, of course, peeing at different venues across the city. We are here with Cassandra Pav, our expert toilet abuser. I mean user. Can you tell us a little bit about your experiences using the toilet, Cassandra Pav?
Hello, and thank you for having me here. And I've been using toilets all my life, as expected. But the research started when I first time moved to Prague, just for 2 months to clean a hostel. And then the state of the toilets inspired me so much, so I decided to relocate to the city, get into the music scene, and start extended research on the female bathrooms at popular venues.
That's really cool, Cassandra Pav, and you sound very knowledgeable. Could you give us a rundown on some of the female bathrooms at venues across Prague and their current states, your reviews? I don't know, what can you tell us about the female bathrooms in Prague?
Sure. Maybe I will just provide you with my research results.
Please.
I will start with Bike Jesus. The only positive aspect of the female bathroom at Bike Jesus is that it's so dark that at least you don't know if you step into anything unpleasant. Aww. Dude. How can such a venue not provide their sweet punk and techno girlies with light, mirrors, toilet seats, or even door handles?
That's a good point.
I believe that the door handles were broken by those with weak legs who chose to squat with the support of the door handle instead of visiting the nearby brushes. I rate it 1 out of 10. Bike Jesus, if you hear me, fix it.
1 out of 10.
1 out of 10.
That's pretty low. Okay, what's next?
Next is Bohužel, and this might surprise you. As for the late night Real Žižkov venue, Bohužel is getting a high score. Small but cozy and filled with tons of stickers. Each time you visit the bathroom, you can find some cool band or initiative to check. More than the aesthetics, I like the functionality. The look, the lock works, the light is bright, and the toilet paper is never missing. Gonna be 8
out of 10. Okay, so we got Bohužel 8 out of 10, Bike Jesus 1 out of 10. What's next?
Next is Ankali.
Interesting.
It's just, I've been researching every month during the show too. Okay, so let's listen to that. I think it's a common trope among electronic music venues. Toilets are for drinking coke, not for export. Usually the light doesn't work, and when it does, it's dark red, which is, to be honest, sexy. You can hear the music from the club and many people with sinus infection. The biggest disadvantage is the lack of mirrors. However, who cares? It's dark there anyway. I would give it 6.
There is a lot of people with sinus infections. Ankalia, that's true. Okay, 6 out of 10. Okay, Dalshi, next, Žižko.
We
What's
talk about Žižkov Šiška very often, so I couldn't not include that venue. So, unexpected top of the tops. 2 cabins, both with working locks. Each has mirror, soap, paper towel, and toilet paper. Always. In both cabins, there's enough space to host your bestie to have an important talk or to show your newly pierced nipples. You can hear the music. Also, the waiting line is always very pleasant. 10 out of 10, Gordon, kudos, thank you.
I think it's really important to find a bathroom that you can show your new nipple piercings to with your friends.
In general, just we love showing each other's boobs in bathrooms, so.
Is that, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Very, very, very important. And the last but not least is Cafe Vlasa, Krimska Street. You think that it has everything you need, but it's always a case of hitting your fellow partygoer with the door. There's also no space for starting friendship, as you have to wait for your turn outside of the bathroom. However, here I come with a little secret. If you go downstairs, there's a bigger bathroom with 3 cabins and much bigger ones. the mirrors are not that functional. But then, if you wanna check your lipstick, you can go back upstairs. I would give it solid 7 out of 10.
Well, Cassandra Pav, thank you for your review. So just quick recap. So Cafe Velese, 7 out of 10. Shishka Shishka, 10 out of 10. Cafe Velese, I already said. What was it, 6 out of 10? 7 out of 10.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. Onkali, 6 out of 10. Bahushal, 8 out of 10. And Bike Jesus, 1 out of 10. Bike Jesus, fix your female toilets. Great. Well, next in this episode, we'd like to get to the bottom of things. And we mean really the bottom of things by discussing which district of Praha is least haha. We'll be discussing 5 Prague neighborhoods and reviewing the strengths and the stench of each. Okay. So first, I think we need to introduce our contestants. We got 5 neighborhoods, and this was done from a survey that we had on Instagram. People voted. Vinohrady, Žižkov, Karlín, Vršovice, and Holešovice. Here is a little review of each neighborhood for those of you outside of Prague.
And before we start, I just want to mention that as I'm an expert in female bathrooms, we are not expert.
It was funny.
It was very funny. I'm expert in female bathrooms, but we're not experts in the Prague neighborhood, so it's going to be very, very subjective.
And controversial.
As always. Let me start with Vinohrady. Originally known as Kongliche Weinberge, Royal Vineyards, Vinohrady was renowned for its extensive vineyards that supplied wine to the royal court. By the late 19th century, the area was transformed into an upscale residential district, attracting the wealthy and influential, with beautiful Art Nouveau buildings still visible today.
Our next contestant just down the street is Žižkov, named after the Hussite leader Jan Žižka, who led a victorious battle against the Catholic forces in the early 15th century on Vítkov Hill. Žižkov developed into a working-class neighborhood later in the 19th century, famous for its bohemian atmosphere and being home to many of Prague's artists, writers, and intellectuals.
The next one is Karlín. Once a separate town founded in 1817, Karlín was the first industrial sub-hub of Prague. It played a crucial role during the Prague Uprising in May 1945, where fierce fighting occurred as the locals resisted the Nazi occupation forces during the last days of World War II.
Next up in as a contestant is Vršovice. Vršovice, originally a village dating back to the 11th century, became part of Prague in 1922. The neighborhood is historically known for its significant industrial development, including the large Kohinoor factory, which produced buttons and later pens and became a key player in Czech manufacturing. And I will just say that this radio show is being broadcasted, I believe, from Vršovice as well.
And last but not least is Holešovice. It was once a hub of heavy industry and transport in Prague. During the 19th century, it became an important industrial center with factories, warehouses, and a large railway station. The neighborhood's transformation in recent decades into a trendy area is symbolized by the conversion of industrial buildings into art galleries, creative spaces, and modern apartments. And that's all.
Okay, so here's the questions that we're trying to address. Which is the coolest neighborhood? Which is the best to live in, to visit? So we got Vinohrady, Žižkov, Karlín, Vršovice, and Holešovice.
Yeah, and we got prepared, and we have some criteria
for the discussion. We definitely got prepared for this one.
Taiko, do you want to read the criteria?
Yeah, criteria, we have a couple categories. So places, that means restaurants, bars, cafes, venues. Next is what does it smell like? What smell do we associate with the neighborhood? Next category is pint prices. Next is fashion / culture. And then our final one is events that the neighborhood offers.
So I think it would be good to start from the smell, because for me it's favorite category.
Well, it's actually the most important, isn't it?
Yes. So I would like to start with Žižkov.
What does Žižkov smell like?
I think that's the easiest one. And for me, it always will be peace and dog shit. And the thing is that I kind of like it.
Does that say something about Shishkov, or does that say something about you? Or both?
I think definitely.
Or maybe this
both.
Radio show. Yeah, okay. I would agree with you. Shishkov definitely smells like piss and beer, but I think it's...
Also weed.
Sorry, piss and shit and weed and beer. Oh. Wait, are those the ideal smells? Actually, yeah, you're right.
I think so.
So this is just purely descriptive. The analytical part is, yes, those are good smells.
And the thing is that now we need to answer the question, right? If it smells like piss, dog shit, vomit, weed, and branic, we still can like it, right? It's not a bad feature.
Right, because these things signify something, that people are out having a good time. They have dogs. They're animal lovers, right? They don't care so
much.
They
don't have time to collect the shit from the street.
I think that, yeah. Is that... Because I wouldn't want to think that they're inconsiderate. Of course, Shishkov people are not inconsiderate. Like, they have something better to do, probably, like, helping people or something. So they're... Anyways, okay, so Shishkov smells like beer, piss, shit, and weed.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay, what does Vino Hradi smell like?
So the first thing that came to my mind is slightly, but like really slightly overpriced wine.
Yeah, I it's good that you said slightly, because, I mean, it's really not too expensive in Vino Hradi. And as we said at the top of the discussion, Vino Hradi is historically the home of is it King Charles? Of his wine yards?
Yeah, his wine yards.
Okay. But yeah, no, and then also the image of Vino Hradi, those people. So no matter the weather, I think they're out there even right now at Jezios Podobrad. There's that wine store near
Andrichkova.
Near Miners, the coffee shop, right? And they're always standing there drinking wine. And it's, to be honest, it's pretty dope. it's pretty cool.
The wine is not that great either. And
there's nowhere to sit either. They're just standing outside, and there's no like cover or it's great.
Yeah, that's what I like to imagine the smell of Vino Hradi as, overpriced wine, because I just like the image. Maybe it's not even close to true, but
okay. Yeah, and again, we're just being descriptive, not analytical here. So, you know, overpriced, is that a bad thing?
Well, it's fine. If you want to feel ripped, that's okay. Sometimes everyone likes to feel ripped a little bit.
Right. Okay. So Vino Hradi, cheap wine. Let's go down to Vršovice. What does this place smell like that we're in right now?
Sweat.
The streets of... Yeah, it's a little bit humid.
It's humid sweat.
But outside, on the streets of Vršovice, you're walking around, you're walking down Krimskaya, you're hanging out, Thursday evening, you got your klooks, your boys, your klootsy. What does it smell like?
Very often, I smell vape.
Vape.
Ice mango vape.
Right, right.
Blueberry vape.
Yeah. You know, there, because let's be frank, when we're talking about Vršovice,
like,
we're kind of just talking about Krimskaya, right?
Yeah. And Gripovka, but like mostly Krimskaya.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll talk about venues and stuff but later. But I think that street of Krimskaya attracts a lot of young Czech people as well. And like mostly young Czech people, which is cool. Because young Czech people need a place to go. And they're all... I think it's quite trendy to be smoking mango ice vape.
Yeah, it's healthy.
It's healthier.
Yeah.
Okay, mango ice vape for Vršovice. Dalshi next is Hološevice.
For me, it's definitely grass, because of Strumovka and Letná.
So is Letná a neighborhood? I've had debates with people about this. So
I googled it, and it doesn't say it's a neighborhood. It's a part of Holešovice.
Okay, so why? Okay, right. So Letná,
but I don't
want to
get into a fight with anyone from Letná /Holešovice.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. You can write it in comments.
Okay. Yeah. So Holešovice smells like grass. What else does it smell like?
I have this image when you're in the beer garden there, that it's smell of burned wooden table. Because I go there usually in summer when it's very sunny, and we hang out in beer gardens. So
it is one of the best views of Prague, that beer, Letná beer garden, right? Smells good, looks good. Well, yeah. I mean, it doesn't smell good. It's, we're being descriptive. We're not being subjective.
Yeah.
It does not smell good or bad. It smells like sunburnt picnic tables, as you said.
Yeah, and then we have Karlín.
So what's up with Karlín? I never go there.
Caroline, for me, is like skinny beach. I associate it with drinking cocktails, so maybe some vodka and lime smell.
Vodka. What about espresso tonic?
Oh, yeah. It has very specific smell.
Right.
Yeah, espresso tonic smell.
Espresso tonic all day, and then vodka lime all day.
Yeah. And if we were talking about taste flavors, I think espresso tonic would also be a flavor of Caroline.
Okay, so let's switch the categories here to culture. And maybe we'll start with Caroline because it's still fresh in our mind. So why are people drinking espresso tonic, vodka lime in Caroline? What's the culture there? What's the fashion? What's it like?
I think they just so exhausted after starting their startups all day and every week,
right.
Starting another startup. So they need
starting.
To go and relax with
right.
Gin and tonic, espresso tonic.
Cancel.
They need some fuel.
Right. Okay. Because it is a business district. There's a lot of young, well, what's the
thing with young people?
I don't know. Well, it's this phrase. So like people in Prague like this phrase, young professional.
Yeah.
There's a lot of young professionals in Caroline going to their startups, starting up startups to start up another startup, starting up a business that creates startups to start up other businesses. I think like that's kind of the culture in Caroline.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. And anything else? Food. There's food, expensive food in Caroline.
Expensive
and I think
food in Caroline.
That's
well, you have to feed the young professionals.
Yeah.
For lunch, right?
Yeah. So I think startup and food, that's Caroline vibe.
Okay. Working backwards, what is the culture of Holoshivitsa? Why does Holoshivitsa smell like grass, Jägermeister, burnt tables? What's the culture?
I think Holoshivitsa people from Holoshivitsa like to call the district art district.
Yo, so what's up with that? So who claimed that title? Because it's a self-proclaimed title, Art District 7. Is it the Prague 7 who claimed?
I think there was no good connection to Žižkov, so people needed to find some independency, so they started to...
They needed to have an excuse to say that they're
so
not going
cool,
to Žižkov.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, no, yeah, Art District 7. Because what are some of the venues there? Maybe we're getting a little off track, but... So there's Vintro Block, right?
Which Nitro is, Block.
Yeah, and that's that's such a cool place to go to.
Yeah, but there's also Okidoki.
Right.
Acid Cafe, Letohradska.
Novodoba.
Well. Cool. Yes,
Bio-Oko,
that's perfect.
You know, okay, so some indie.
Yeah, there's also Docs, big gallery.
Okay.
It's pretty dope.
So it's pretty artistic.
Okay.
And Stromovka, right? Like it's the best park in Prague.
Yeah. Okay, so I can see the claim where it comes from.
Right, I'm getting embarrassed now.
Yeah. All right, so let's just switch the district.
Okay, so what's the culture of Vršovice? We said that Vršovice smells like mango ice vape.
Yeah.
Right, I associate Vršovice with like the feeling of sticky beer, like when you're walking on, like in a basement or like on wood. And
maybe it's the vape liquid.
Right, just vape liquid everywhere.
Yeah.
Because you have, and we're thinking about Krimska. You have Onkali, of course, Planet Desire, Sheller Radio. Great place. You also have Krimska Street, which is Cafe Valese, Club Patra. You have that place called Bar. it's just Bar. It's like the best place ever. Also, like 60 crowns for a 30 milliliter pint of Pilsen, so I don't know about that.
But you have Petrohradska, a little bit farther. It's not only Krimska.
That's true.
Petrohradska is a great venue.
And you have the old Sperne Sudovny, right? Am I saying that right?
Sperne I don't know. It changes name every second week, so I don't know what's the name.
That was such an important place when I first moved to Prague. And up the street, the check-in, of course. So you kind of get this flux of young people coming
the
to the city.
Young people.
Right.
They are also old people, and it's fine.
It's fine.
So
the culture. So those are the venues. That's what it smells like. Is Vršovice as cool as Žižkov? Objectively, not subjectively.
No.
Okay, but why? So what is the culture of
No,
Vršovice?
I'm joking. Žižkov will always be the best for me. But Vršovice is pretty cool. I mean, it happens more often that for a weekend I decide to go to Vršovice. Cafe Blessy usually puts great gigs.
It's true. Well, I guess it's quite condensed.
And wait, they have this amazing kebab place right up
Conductor.
The
Conductor. Yeah. Oh, no. Well, Conductor right at the tram stop. Also, that Chinska Bistro, super great. Mapo tofu, like 119. But the kebab place, what's it called? It's like... Like
it's near the vegan donuts.
Quick stop or something. Yeah. Also the vegan donuts. Oh, it's a good district. Okay.
Yeah, and Satsang also vegan stuff.
Prague is so cool. Okay, Fischavica. And then, of course, you have that new wine garden. I mean, beer garden. Excuse me, I don't drink wine. Beer garden at the Krimska tram stop. If you go, like, because it's near that record store. That they just redid that area, and it's really cool. Okay, so Krimska is kind of like a place that you go to. You can spend all day there.
And also, they have a place where you can go on Sunday when you hang over. There's Grabovka Park, which is beautiful. Has these beautiful caves. Mm-hmm. There's some theater going on very often. Mm-hmm. Some salsa classes.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be young to be there. It's very inclusive, even for old people.
Would young professionals feel good in Vršovice, though?
They could. I think you can find espresso tonic in more places than before.
Right. Yeah. Flat whites, though? I don't know. Grabovka is super cool, these artificial caves. Actually, that's an amazing spot. And the history behind it is also very interesting, which I would love to share with you, but I don't know it.
Okay, so maybe let's go to Vinohrady, because it's neighboring district.
Okay.
What's the culture of Vinohrady?
What is the culture of Vinohrady? Asking... Object Paradise, Asking Crotch Magazine. I think you can pick up any kind of any Object Paradise artifact and get our ideas about Vinohrady.
I think there's the one, big one, that we talk about very often.
It's the dogs.
The dogs.
Vinohrady people use dogs as fashion accessories.
Yes. And lately I noticed that everyone, they not only have a dog, they have a trendy dog.
Yeah. And the thing is... So, it's like, how small can you get your dog to be, but how big can you get its like fur to be?
Yeah,
you
and know, if so it can fit in the baby stroller with your baby.
Right. And don't get me wrong, they're cute dogs or something, but like we ran a report. I think we read it the first episode of Object Parody, was that Vinohrady restaurants are now mandating dogs. Because if you go to a restaurant in Vinohrady, everyone has a dog. And it's almost like restaurants are for dogs now.
Yeah, but let's talk about this cool stuff in Vinohrady.
Because Vinohrady is still a
very pleasant place. They have the farmer's market.
It's close to Žižkov as well. Like it's I don't know.
That's the only positive of Vinohrady, is close to Žižkov.
I mean, the location's great. I don't even think... Yeah, you don't even really have to take a tram. Yeah.
Yeah, but as I said, farmer's market. Close to Žižkov.
Okay, it's currently closed right now. They're reconstructing Jozef Podbrad.
Acoustic guitars in Riga Rovesade, I think, is a big one.
That's, yeah.
And also, whenever you feel lonely, go to Riga Rovesade. 100% chance you'll meet someone you know.
It's a great park. Yeah, I would say second best park in Prague behind Stromovka. But first best best park in Prague for the view. It's an incredible place. The beer garden there is great. I think, yeah, I'm currently banned from that beer garden, though. One time, me and Hunter Andrews went, it was during COVID, and they still were running the beer garden, and we went in with our stupid VHS camera, and it's so big, and it's horrible quality or whatever, but it looks like a professional broadcast camera because it's so big. And we walk in, we went into the beer garden to interview people about poetry. We wanted to ask them, does poetry exist or what type, you know, classic Object Paradise stuff, right? Wait, where's my canceled button?
Canceled.
and then the owner of the beer garden came up to us and he said, no press, because it was COVID. They were supposed to be closed or whatever. And we're not press. We're
drunk assholes we're
young,
talking about
young
poetry.
Professionals, yeah. We're independent media. And he took us into this back room. And he had these really large, not Vinohrady dogs, but Great Danes that were so tall. And he is like, you don't fuck with Croatian mafia. He said he was part of the Croatian mafia, which I didn't
know. I'm
even
not sure if it's safe that you're saying that story on air right now.
No, well, I just want to say I'm sorry. You know, we just went to, to go. This is my apology to him, basically,
okay,
I want to say.
If you hear us.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't say. Anyways, he gave us a shot of Slivovica. We took a shot, and it was cool, and it was really scary. And then we were like, okay, fuck, let's like get out of here. anyways, so that's like, yeah, Vino Harari has some cool. By the way, I thought that was cool. That's a positive part of Vino Harari. I think Vino Harari is cool in some regards. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so wrapping it up, what's last thing is the culture of Shishkov.
Boshkov. So here maybe I will say some story. I drank Boshkov twice in my life.
Wait, the culture of Shishkov is Boshkov.
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
I drank Boshkov twice in my life. On two occasions, I was in Zhishkov, and I was having fun. It was Zhishkovske Noc Festival, mm-hmm. as we love Zhishkovske Noc Festival. That's one of the big happenings there. So you just crawl from bar to bar, and it happened that we were playing concert with the band called Warm Branik. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, Warm Branik.
And yeah, people were passing me Boshkov, and I was happy, having fun, everything was good. And the next day when I came back home in Nové Mesto, and there was farmer's market on the Plavka. It happens every Saturday. And Tycho told me that I will feel better if I just have a walk by the river. Well, I didn't. There were all these families with kids passing by me, and I couldn't hold it up, and I started to vomit to Vltava when all these people were passing by watching me. And Tycho, he didn't feel sorry. He just held my hand and laughed.
Yeah, you were laying on the ground with your head over into the river, just throwing up at the farmer's market.
So the moral from the story is whenever you leave Zhishkov, Zhishkov will never leave you. So even if you change the districts, the next day Zhishkov stays with you.
That's a good point. And I'll just add like one small thing about the Boshkov thing. Me and the other member of our collective, Vyadimir Lelik, we had this kind of game to see like how far we could go in Zhishkov to see a bottle of Branik or one of those small little plastic cups of Boshkov. And it is incredible how not far you have to go to see these things on windowsills all over in Shishkov. It's crazy. It's like,
it's
and they're always together. So like, you know that some kluk just drank a bottle of Branik and then Boshkov and just left it there, but they're everywhere. It's crazy. So that, maybe that's the culture.
Yeah. So I think we went through all of the districts. Maybe it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Actually, we started this conversation, and I obviously thought that Shishkov is the most authentically, not trying to be something, cool district to explore and meet people. But actually, talking about all of these neighborhoods, which I didn't expect.
Yeah, I think Vršovice sound pretty cool.
Prague is really cool.
Cooler than I thought. Yeah,
actually.
Prague in general is super
cool.
Yeah,
and Holešovice is quite cool as well.
Okay, anyway, it was very subjective, so you guys don't get upset that we mix Letná with Holešovice and we just like dog shit smell. You have right to your own opinion. Yeah, you can text us, which is your favorite one.
Yeah, cool. All right, so we'll see you in the comments on that. The next part of the show, we're going to, just like every show, play some music from the Prague scene.
We are languaging. The whole world for the first time is happening. The Boshkov drowning rat is the poet show. The green eggs and tram man who derails from drunk hand off Branik from denotation to connotation knows it's all a show. This is the show. The all-knowing now show. What was said and when it happened. Now it is now. Wow, now, wow. Oh, ow, ow, now. How now can language be? How wow is it to be languaging? Excuse me, prominte, there are no dictionaries written in the present. No now there, no wow there, no derailment. It all already happened. All language shapes the thought, shapes the now, the wow, the now, and now nothing exists when not right in front of it. Wine-drinking gaffers of Vino Hradi are distant, stroking their Merriam-Websters, but Zhishkov is definite again. I know because I'm stepping in it, the dog knows.
In Zhishkov, pleasure is the only one desired value, until you're too drunk to be happy. The night walk usually brings you hranolki in your kebab. You also might piss on the Waldom famous Velkova and buy cigarettes at the Potravina on the corner. But your girlfriend won't kiss you on the lips. And it's all about it, right? Step one to become friends, say mantras. Zizko, Boshko. And keep the door open. On a night tram, so everybody can go to Zizko. They say, we are professionals. In every field you can imagine. After 4 bottles of warm brandy. Crazy mode, crazy room, crazy man. Somebody says poetry doesn't pay rent. Somebody says poetry doesn't exist. Somebody says you're writing or you're not writing. What's the point?
Yo, yo, where are we going tonight? It's motherfucking Thursday. Dope dudes are smoking by the church. And I didn't even manage to put my branik into the fridge. Thank God. Oh, Lord. Thank you for these gay humans. These excited eyeballs, arms, legs, and limbs, Zizkov limousines. We gotta get out of here. The cops are coming, and I think this time they've brought specially trained poet laureates to sniff us out. We gotta get out of here. Fortunately, Bohužel is still open. Let's hide there and drink Boshkov and motherfucking Zizkov. What? Nah, dude. No, I don't have papírky.
Places, faces, craziness. Wishing a sleepless night out in the streets, listening to screams of drunk people of Zizkov. Too cold to wear something sexy. Eyes watering, ruining the makeup. Powder already froze. Nose redder than a clown's. Hoodie fucked up, already messy hair. Can't even drink the road beer because my hand froze and fell off 10 minutes ago. I want to get naked on that street and chuck the beer with my remaining left hand.
What does the morning mean to you?
The morning means I want to go to the lake and go to the nude beach and eat croissants that Aaron makes me.
Yeva, what does the afternoon mean to you?
Afternoon means going to Kirk, having sex on a beach, having sand in my pussy.
We give our warm welcome to everybody in this room and outside of this room. Thank you very much.
Hey!
All right, welcome back. You just heard Wesley Howell, who is playing his guitar on his roof. That was recorded in Seattle in July 2021 from yours truly on VHS camera. Before that, you heard Ugolisha Janic, accompanied by Alex Clove, Pola Trombinska, Pavel Sikora, and Bartosz
Szablowski
at the Object Paradise Performance Deformance Reformance event in Krakow last August. And we started off the set with the Object Paradise track Mantra, which appeared on the Object Paradise Volume 2, which was released on Sifter Grim Records in 2022.
And now you're going to hear an episode of Object Vault that was published in March 2024. We had the pleasure of talking with Mark Baker, a very significant figure in Prague's expat community during the vibrant and transformative 90s. Before the vault is gonna to play, I'm gonna tell you a little bit backstory of Mark Baker and how he got here and how he became such a figure on Prague expat scene, because he is responsible for starting the Glob Cafe and Bookstore, which you might know from the old location that was in Holešovice, and now it moved to Nové Mesto. And it's important because they promote English literature, English food. And now we can process, or not yet. We have some technical difficulties here.
Yeah, well, anyways, Mark was really cool. And when did you say when we talked with him? How long ago this was?
Yeah, it was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, and we met at
Uyest, Club Uyest.
Right, Club Uyest.
Okay, let's try to play
just
the interview.
Rebooting our soundboard here. A moment.
Hey, is Object Paradise Object Vault? Hey, is Object Paradise Object Vault? Today with me, it's Mike Baker.
It's Mark Baker.
Mark Baker.
I say Mark Baker.
Mike.
Hi, it's Object Paradise, Object Vault. With me is Mark Baker, the founder of the Globe Bookstore and Cafe back in 90s. Today we're going to talk about Mark's book that was released recently.
The title of the book is Čas promien. It means time of transformation or time of changes. And the book is really about the transformation of Czechoslovakia and the other countries of the Eastern Bloc in the 1980s to the early 1990s, from the single-party communist rule and planned economies to market economies and parliamentary democracies that we have. So it's all those. It's roughly from around 1984 to around 1994, so a decade of transformation.
And how did you come up with the idea to write a book about it?
So I was very hesitant to do it. And then I thought about it and thought about it and thought, you know, I feel like I have things to say. And writing a Czech would be a great advantage because I would be able to reach a local audience with the stories, not just write another expat, novel or something like that, but rather try to cross the language divide a little bit. And so I thought, what a great opportunity to do this. I'll never have this chance again. And the publisher actually wants the book, not the other way around. And then the pandemic hit, and I didn't have anything to do anyway because all of my projects were canceled, and it just gave me the perfect year to really focus on this book, actually.
As you know, Object Paradise is like into literary scene in Prague, and we want to like find and recognize roots of this expats community here. So like we would like to know how it was in 90s. Why did it stop for a little bit to have such a strong community? And like, how is it now for you? So if you could tell us like story from your perspective, how did it start? If you were the one who actually started the expat community here through your cafe, yeah. And like, how did it look from your perspective, the development of literary scene?
Well, it's it's a kind of funny story. I mean, if you look back now, people tend to look at that expat scene and say, well, it was a lot of hype. You know, it wasn't a lot of things going on, blah, blah, blah. You know, there wasn't a lot of great art that came out of that period. You know, I'm talking about people my age looking back on that. But my impression is that it was actually much livelier, much more interesting, and in a sense, much weirder than, you know, than people really remember, and I think kind of important, kind of lasting. You have to keep in mind that in the early 1990s, this transformation to democracy and the free market economy and all that stuff, it wasn't guaranteed. You know, the Soviet Union was still existing, you know, I mean, up until 1991, actually. And some of that stuff, there was a sense that it could have been rolled back, you know, at some point. And the country itself, Czechoslovakia, was going through a very difficult period. It was splitting up. You know, Slovaks were going one way, Czechs were going another way. And it was kind of a sad story in a certain sense. I mean, obviously people were very happy about the Velvet Revolution, about the changes. But the mood in the country was, you know, it's difficult. It wasn't all positive. It wasn't all, you know, thing. Into that vacuum, I think you have to see the expats coming in, because most expats didn't know anything really about the politics of the country. They didn't really care about the politics of the country. They were much more interested in Prague, Václav Havel, even Kafka. You know, like my generation grew up in American universities reading writers like Kundera, you know, Milan Kundera, or, you know, Ivan Klima or Vatuli. There were a couple bookstores, but there wasn't really a literary cultural space that people could, you know, there were cultural organizations, there were intergovernmental organizations and all that, but I'm talking about very informal cafe kind of space or bookstore kind of space where people could interact more freely. And that was the kind of gap that we sensed in the market, you know, and that's the thing that we wanted to fill when we open up the globe, you know, that kind of thing.
So now I'm probably going to have last question about the past, because I want to talk about more about Europeans now. But how was it for you to meet Allen Ginsberg here? He visited your place. How was the meeting?
Of course, rumor had gotten around all over town that Ginsberg was going to come to the Globe, so the cafe was packed, you know, I mean packed. And, you know, every table taken, every people were sitting on tables and people were sitting on people's laps. And Ginsberg walked in, you know, and he's like, you know, just looking around. And he sees some guy typing a manuscript on a laptop. And we had a reputation, the Globe had a reputation of being a place where bad writers would go and type up their bad poetry. We embraced it. They're also good poets. We didn't care. I mean, look, you're free, you know, write what you want. So Ginsberg comes up to the guy and he says, what are you doing? And the guy said, I'm trying to write. And Ginsberg said, you either write or you don't write, but you don't try to write. And it was just a cold moment, you know, and then he got up and he walked out of the store. So,
Who walked out?
No, Ginsberg. No, Ginsberg. No, the guy who was writing his bad poetry, he kind of stuck to his guns. I was kind of proud of him, you know. He just looked at Ginsberg and he said, I'm trying to write.
Do you write shorter forms? Do you write, let's say, poetry?
No, not really. No, I don't know. I don't write poetry. But I'll tell you what I did learn writing a book, all right, is that the first thing that I thought of when I got to this book is like, oh my God, how am I going to write for 300 pages? I don't have, and how do you form a narrative arc over 300 pages? It's impossible. You know, I don't think I had that skill to be able to develop characters and to build a storyline that would somehow sustain itself through the entire book and be satisfying for the reader to come after. And that paralyzed me for a while. It's like, well, how do you write a book? And then I realized from the blog, and maybe, you know, as a poet might know or something, is that any literary telling isn't a long arc. It's just a series of short arcs, basically. And so that's how I started to think about my book. I started to think about my book in terms of 500, 1,000, 1,500 word arcs, like you would think of it as a blog post or something like that, just to open the story, fill it with details, build some suspense, and give the reader a little bit of a payoff. And once I did that, I realized that I could probably build a book out of that, because all of the small stories were building toward one larger story. Of course, I didn't know what that story was, but I didn't care. I mean, you know, and it kind of worked. So that's my advice for would-be book writers. Don't think in terms of 300 pages. Think in terms of 10 pages, you know, something like that.
All right. I think it's all I wanted to ask.
Once again, you can pick up Mark's Baker book at
Mark Baker.
Mark Baker's book at bookstores across Prague and online. The title of it is Čas promien. And next, we'd like to share a short story with you titled David Clockwork and the Trash Museum.
David Clockwork was an undistinguished man with an unbecoming mustache in his 30s with no accomplishments, no real friends, and a slender build that hardly cast a shadow. That is, until now, he thought to himself. He'd finally done it. He was awarded the position of prop master at the Žižkov Divadlo, where he had worked for the last 10 years building stages for each seasonal production with props that he collected or built himself. The ceremony was led by Mr. Novak, a distinguished theater director who had known David for the last 5 years. Your props and stage design are so important. They're as important as our actors. You both work to create and bring the unreal into the real, which is exactly why you deserve this award of prop master, David. Congratulations, declared Mr. Novak. David was giddy with joy and could barely keep his mustache straight. He stood up quick, shook Mr. Novak's firm hand, and bowed to all of his colleagues in the room, smiling at each and every one of them with bright, youthful eyes. Mr. Novak continued, I would also like to introduce Miss Muri Madra. She's a well-trained actress from Vinohrady who will be shadowing us to see the rhythm and techniques of our extraordinary theater here. Muri Madra stood up from the crowd in a velvet green dress with sharp eyes and slowly twirled in the audience, waving her hand and examining each of her new colleagues. Then something strange happened, thought David. He couldn't stop looking at her, and when she looked into his eyes, he never wanted her to stop, because he felt like he knew her. You may know my father or my aunt. Of course, I'm part of the Madra family, but please don't let that disturb you. I'm here to learn from you, and I want to thank Mr. Novak for allowing me to get to know you, Mori stated. Mori turned to David and held his gaze once more. Ah, that's it. The Madra family, thought David. He was intrigued that such a pretty, distinguished young lady who came from a family of actors would be joining their team. Their team, the Žižkov Divadlo. He considered for a moment that there was nothing for her to learn here, but he trusted Mr. Novak. David went home later that evening and was excited to share the news. But as he flipped through his phone book, a sudden wave of emptiness drew over him. Is an award worth anything if you have no one to show it to? He turned on his side, laying across his gray bed in his gray apartment, fell asleep wearing his new name tag that read, Master of Props. For the next 3 weeks, Muri and David worked closely together. Muri was attracted to David's ability to seemingly manifest any item, object, or scene from the various back rooms that he had keys to at the theater. It was almost like magic, she thought. And David had a particular ability to present reality on a stage by using real objects as props and arranging them in the way that they usually exist in the streets of Žižkov. He had several iron trash cans, for example, with its garbage rot still inside of it that he used for productions based in the city night. David, you know, I've really learned from you. I see what you've done, and it's true. You are a prop master. It's so inspiring and real. Someday I'll win Best Actress, and you'll be the reason why, Mori said. David was a bit confused by her comments, but had understood from the last 3 weeks that he doesn't need to understand everything she says. He became intrigued by her youthful and determined demeanor and how she always wore green, which paired excellently, he thought, with her eyes. She practiced her characters in front of him and had even taught him how to do a stage kiss. It felt like they complemented each other really well, both on stage and in the back rooms of his mind. And then, one evening after rehearsal, Muri approached David in his attic office in the theater as he was stowing away some brooms. David, I've had such a wonderful time with you these last 3 weeks, you know. And you know that I'm going to be leaving soon back to Vinohrady. And I've learned so much about performance from you. The way you work on the stage is so real. But David, I feel like I don't know yet who you are. I want to see your closet. I mean, well, I want to see your apartment. And I'd like to get to know you more, to understand you off the stage. I'll just go home first to freshen up so I can be at yours in an hour. How's that, David? Maury spoke a bit smoother than usual and tilted her head towards him, with eyes piercing straight through him. Okay, yes, 8 o'clock it is, David, Clockwork said. David's heart began racing as he imagined Maury in his living room, her green eyes observing the grayness of his apartment that was bare and empty. David felt a moment of despair. What did she want with him? He was so boring and lifeless. Ah! David suddenly exclaimed, leaping from the gray chair of his office and spinning around. He grabbed his evening jacket and bolted down the stairs, nearly tripping as he leaped from platform to platform. He needed to prepare, needed to be ready, he needed to impress her. He shoved open the door to the prop closet and stared at the glass prop beer bottles, the empty pizza boxes, the plastic plants. His hands trembled as he grabbed all of them, shoving them into a burlap sack. Ah, perfect. Maury, you'll love this, he muttered to himself, as he ran back to this empty house. He meticulously decorated the apartment, the fake bottles lined up along the windowsill, the pizza boxes scattered across the floor, the plastic plant with leaves he painted brown to make it look almost, but not yet, dead. Ah. David sighed, collapsing into the chair by the window. His knees crossed, he sat patiently staring out into the darkening street. It's nearly 8 o'clock. I wonder if she'll be here on time, he thought. Knock, knock, knock. Davy jumped to his feet, smoothing his mustache, his heart thudding to his chest. He looked around the room and smiled gently. She'll love it. She has to. Hello, who is it? Davy called out, his voice shaking. It's Maury, a gentle voice replied. Davy cracked the door open. There she was, her beautiful green eyes looking onto his and piercing through the gray. Oh, Maury, please come in and excuse the mess. It's from a few friends I had over for dinner. Maury stepped inside, her eyes scanning the room, taking in the mess with a cold, calculating gaze. She sat in David's chair, crossing her legs, her expression unreadable. You know, I didn't expect you to live like this, she said, her voice dripping with something David couldn't quite place. Disappointment, maybe. David fumbled, his hands twisting in his lap. Well, I just didn't have enough time. Please, let me clean this up. Maury's eyes flickered around the room, her nostrils flaring slightly as she caught the scent of nothing. She smelt like melting vanilla ice cream, sweet, but with a hint of something sour underneath. She was testing him. David remembered that she wanted to see the real him. David felt the weight of her gaze and panicked. What is the real me? Real. Real. I'm a prop master, he thought frantically. A prop master. He reached down to pick up a pizza box, but his hands were trembling and it slipped from his grasp, landing face up. Nothing inside. No pizza droppings, not even a crust. Just an empty box. Maury cocked her head, a slow smile spreading across her face. That's odd, David. A pizza party without pizza? David's face flushed red. Well, you see, everyone was quite hungry. Maury uncrossed her legs and let out a long, deep sigh. Oh, David, please don't tell me lies. She stood up and walked slowly around the room, her fingers brushing over the fake plant's plastic leaves, her green eyes narrowing. Oh, David, please don't lie to me. Maury moved to the windowsill, grabbed a green bottle and put her tongue to it, tasting the sugary residue. Sugar, David. It's only sugar. David stared at his gray feet, his gray carpet, his gray walls, and back into her green eyes. I'm sorry. Maury walked back to him, standing just inches away, her presence overwhelming and suffocating. This is fake trash, David. I wanted to meet the real you. I wanted to know that you're real under that facade of staging and props. Fake trash, David. David's mouth opened, but no words came out. He was exposed, vulnerable, like a child caught in a lie. David thought to himself, bottles of booze from parties I never had, plants I couldn't keep alive, pizza boxes from celebrations I never had. What is real if not these? No, Maury, it's real trash, he finally said. Maury laughed a sharp, cold laugh and cut through the air. It's fake, fake, fake trash! She walked to the kitchen, opened the cupboard, and pulled out a black trash bag, her movements precise and deliberate, like she'd done this 1,000 times before. She began throwing the glass bottles in the bag, tearing down his paintings and crushing the empty pizza boxes into the void of the bag. If all of this is real, David, show me something that's yours, something that isn't a prop, something that you didn't create for the stage. But this, all of this, it's me, Maury. The bottles, the boxes, they're not just props, they're parts of me, I think. I thought maybe you could see that. Maury stood with the full bag of props and glared at David. So that's how y'all do it. Y'all live in a fake world with fake trash and fake parties and fake identities. Is this who you are, David? David stumbled after her, his heart pounding in his chest. What are you doing with my things? You can't just come to my house and take my things. And with a swing of the plastic sack, she knocked over the fake plant with painted brown leaves, shattering the real porcelain across the floor. Maury paused, looked back at David clockwork, her eyes gleaming with something dark. Something dangerous. I'm taking out your trash. As Maury walked out the door, dragging the black bag behind her, David slumped against the wall, the truth crushing down on him. He was nothing. Just a gray man in a gray world surrounded by fake trash. The next day was the opening night of the production that the theater had been preparing for the last 3 months. David was hardly excited and couldn't get the scene from the previous evening out of his mind. He wondered if he'd ever see Maury again. But David had a commitment to Mr. Novak, and he was still proud to be the prop master. He carefully staged various piles of trash around the stage, dropping cigarette butts into half-drunken bottles of beer and lining them up along crumpled kebab wrappers on a fake windowsill that replicated the Shishkov setting of the play. At the end of the night, the audience erupted with applause, even for the production crew, which included David and three other men in gray mustaches. The thunderous applause fell mute on David, however, as he searched the audience for Maury's green eyes. After the curtain fell, David felt a faint hand on his shoulder. He turned around. It was Maury, standing there in her green velvet dress, piercing eyes, and a face that was sweet and sour at the same time. David Clockwork, you did a great job tonight. It was excellent, really great. David hung on her every word as she stood on the center of the empty, dark stage. Maury continued, I just wanted to feel something real with you last night, and I thought you could give me it. But it was real, Maury. Those Thursday afternoons, the laughter, your laughter. The way you laughed, the kiss, the stage kiss, it was real, wasn't it? David's face turned into a question mark, anticipating Maury's response. Maury stood with her hands at her hips and slowly took in his sorry mustache and lonely presence. It was real trash, David. It had always been real trash. And me, well, I'm an actor. Sometimes it's real and sometimes it's fake. And now I want to be real. David Clockwork stared at Maury, her words echoing in the empty gray theater. The truth she laid bare felt like a slap, cutting through the layers of pretense he'd built around himself. The stage, the props, the applause, all of it suddenly felt like a cruel joke, a facade as empty as the pizza boxes in his apartment. Real, David thought, the word lingering in the air between them.
And if you found the answer or not, whether fake trash exists or you sympathize with similar existential questions, please submit your thoughts, writings, or anything you desire to crotch@objectparadise.com with the chance to be featured in our monthly magazine or the next episode of Object Parody. Again, that's crotch@objectparadise.com. And now, just announcements of show that will happen in August.
So first, we'll start with comedy show tomorrow at 8 p.m. at Café Myślisz. It's a great improv show with live music and company. Then there is multilingual poetry stage on 22nd of August at Amphitheatre in Wyrszowice. And on 24th of August, Kino Aero organizes Terminator Marathon. Highly recommended. Arnold Schwarzenegger there. On 28th of August at Lucerna Bar, there will be Souls of Mischief concert for fans of real hip-hop. That's a great occasion. And from the 26th to 31st of August in Ostrava, they will be happening in Verse Festival.
And on the 29th, I'll be presenting Object Paradise. We'll be watching Object Praha 3, which is a documentary on some of the Zizhkov happenings and the Object Paradise Manifesto. We'll have a panel discussion and a talk about what an Object Paradise poetics looks like.
Yeah, and then on 5th of September at Palace Acropolis, there will be a great, great show of group Tina Riven from Algeria, actually from Sahara, and they will be playing traditional Saharan music with some Western rock influences. And the last event will be 7th of September, Skate Park Letna during the day and at Altenburg during the night, and it's the 10th anniversary of comics.
Hell yeah. So whether we see you at some of these events, all these events, or none of these events, and just see you around town, we'd like to say thank you for listening in. Before we sign off, we'd like to give a special thank you to all the folks who made this radio broadcast possible. That's Yadimir Lelik, Shello Radio, Roxanne Mandel, Wesley Howe, Ben Ray, Ugalisha Yenich, Mark Baker, and most of all, thank you to our listeners. This has been the third episode of Object Parody, Object Paradise's live radio show broadcasting from Planet to Zaw, Shella Radio, Onkali, all of those things together, kind of, in Vršovice. We'll be coming back next month with some more stories, reports, and entertainment from the Czech capital, Prague.
We really like you having fun.